Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope you are well and that you are having a great start to your weekend. It's Saturday, January 9th, a special edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. This Saturday, an exciting Saturday in the world of sports as this weekend begins the NFL playoffs. On this coming Monday, we also have the NCAA title game. If your team's still alive in the playoffs or in the title game, best of luck to y'all, unless that means you're cheering against the Tennessee Titans. If that's the case, I can't really wish you the best of luck. Go Titans! We'll save that conversation for another time, but I truly hope that the Titans will start, you know, their trek towards a Super Bowl tomorrow against the Baltimore Ravens. But of course, we're here to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies, and that is another reason to be excited following a very convincing win last night among a crazy set of circumstances for the Grizzlies, a much-needed win following their very disappointing loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers on Thursday night. The Grizzlies got a very convincing victory, very much a team victory against a very talented Brooklyn Nets team. We'll talk about that in the first segment, just the crazy circumstances that, you know, unfolded during the game and what allowed for the Grizzlies to win on the court. In the second segment, I'll talk about one of the big reasons why the Grizzlies won last night is a continuing trend for this team that really is encouraging going forward, that not only can help them remain competitive, but if they can keep doing it once their starters get back, could potentially keep them on the fringe of that playoff discussion as time goes on. In the third segment, we'll hit a bit on the discussion of expansion. I know that that was a popular conversation topic this week, with it, you know, being, you know, understood that the NBA certainly seems to be aggressive in that area, you know, over the next few years. How the Grizzlies could be one of the current teams in the NBA most impacted by this discussion, we'll get into the details of that in the third segment. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSEC. Obviously, you can find the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen to your podcast. So last night, the Grizzlies, so Thursday night actually, we'll start there. Thursday night, the Grizzlies come off a disappointing loss against the Cleveland Cavaliers. An inexplicable loss, you know, there was no reason why they lost that game, a very winnable game for this team. So starting a stretch of games in which they really needed to put some wins together if the playoffs were to still be a reasonable, you know, topic of discussion for this team going forward. But of course, before the game even started, just some, you know, unexpected circumstances surrounding the game for the Grizzlies and the Nets. Of course, on Thursday night, the Nets had played at home against the Philadelphia 76ers, and during the game, Philadelphia 76ers guard Seth Curry tested positive for the coronavirus. Now, it's not as if he, you know, took a test and he immediately tested positive for it. It was revealed that a previous test that he had taken had tested positive. So you're talking about a situation in which a game was being played, and during that game, it was revealed that one of the participants had been on the court in contact with both his teammates and the opposing team while being positive with the coronavirus. Kind of an unprecedented situation in terms of the NBA. We'd seen a similar situation, you know, unfold during the World Series in which Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner had it was revealed he tested positive for the coronavirus, you know, from a test before the game. It came back after the game that he had tested positive, and he evidently had played the game while being positive with the COVID-19 virus. So just a lot of fallout from Thursday night with that unexpected turn of events. Obviously, Philadelphia, they went through their own stuff in New York to make sure the team and Seth Curry, everything was fine there. There was a little bit of speculation that going into yesterday, the Nets and Grizzlies game, there was a bit of speculation as to whether or not it would be played, depending on whether or not the Nets were going to be able to meet the criteria for the league to make the league comfortable with continuing their games. Well, of course, that wound up being fine, and the Grizzlies and Nets, you know, played their game, you know, as scheduled last night. But then, of course, during halftime, all of a sudden, we'd received the news that Grizzlies center Jonas Valanciunas had tested positive. He had entered the health and safety protocols of the league. He was removed from the game, immediately put into the health and safety protocols. So that started speculation of, you know, how did a Grizzlies player be put in this protocol, yet none of the Nets players, the team that had been, you know, directly involved in the game that had had the positive COVID test, how had they not had any issues, but all of a sudden the Grizzlies were possibly experiencing issues? Well, it, you know, became clear that Valanciunas had not entered the protocol because of a positive COVID-19 virus. It was revealed that he had not tested positive for the virus, but whether it was symptoms, whether it was some type of contact tracing, whatever was involved, the Grizzlies took the precautions to put him into the protocol, and so at halftime, he obviously was removed from the game. So overall, just a very unexpected impact from COVID-19 on the Grizzlies Nets game. So both teams obviously having to overcome, you know, those extra circumstances in order to play last night's game. But of course, you know, before it was known that that would have any impact as far as the Grizzlies go, one thing that was clear when the game started was that the Grizzlies were clearly in tune. They were focused to not let a repeat of Thursday night happen again. And that was that was evident right from the get-go. The Grizzlies got off to a 40-27 start. That's right. This offense that had struggled so mightily, though hot starts had certainly been a trait of this team, they scored 40 points in the first quarter on Friday night against the Brooklyn Nets, making it clear that they were not ready to lay another dud again like they had Thursday night. It was the first time the Grizzlies had scored 40 points in their first quarter in over a year, since January 2nd and January 4th. They did it in consecutive games in 2020 to begin the year. This time around, they got off to a 40-27 lead. Well, obviously, the Grizzlies were able to expand that lead to over 20 points with a halftime score of 62-47. At times, the Grizzlies had gone up by as much as 40 points. But going into halftime, obviously, very convincing first half, a very, very good team effort. Brandon Clark, just like he had done in the first half against Cleveland, looked like the best player on the court at times against the Nets. He was certainly having his way. So just a very convincing opening half performance by the Grizzlies. Well, then, of course, the situation with Jonas Valanciunas occurs, and unfortunately, uncharacteristically, the Grizzlies just come out and they struggle in the third quarter. And unfortunately, one person who did not struggle was Caris LeVert. Caris LeVert wound up scoring 19 points in that third quarter last night for the Brooklyn Nets. And the Grizzlies, who had emerged with a 15-point lead, you know, at halftime, they wound up, you know, seeing that lead dwindle all the way down to 6, you know, at the end of the third quarter. And then, of course, as we get into the fourth quarter, you know, at times, that lead was given up. The Nets were able to get as close as taking the lead and making it a very back-and-forth game, unfortunately. So we're all thinking, here we go again. The Grizzlies, despite getting a big lead, they weren't able to hold it, and this was especially not going to be favorable from Thursday night's game. But then, of course, in the fourth quarter, the Grizzlies really were able to take over both offensively and defensively. The defense, which we'll get into in the second segment, the defense really came together, leading to turnovers, disrupting passes, not letting the Nets be able to get into the flow of their offense to be able to get back into the game or to take a lead that the Grizzlies were going to have a hard time, you know, overcoming. Caris LeVert coming off 19 points, and by the end of quarter three, having 37 points, he only had 6 points in the fourth quarter. Joe Harris, though he was 6-for-9 from the field, he never got going either as another option for the Nets. So the Grizzlies' defense just really stepped up their efforts and really were able to make the most of their situation, just like they did on December 28th against the Nets, both through one-on-one defense and team defense. This Grizzlies team really, really did well. So after giving up 39 points to the Nets in the third quarter, they limited them to only 24 points in the fourth quarter. Well, of course, on offense, one of the biggest takeaways from the game on Thursday night against the Cavaliers was that it just seemed like the offense stalled. It just seemed like there was very little effort, very little cohesion, and that's why the Grizzlies were not able to win the game on Thursday night. Well, they were not about to let that happen again last night. Players such as Dylan Brooks, such as Tyus Jones, such as Gorgui Dieng, the veterans, though it did seem like there was still a bit of confusion as to how this team was going to operate offensively to get some points. Those players were able to set screens. They were able to spread the floor, take good shots, and make good passes. Those players really allowed for both Brooks and Brandon Clark to step up and score the needed points that the Grizzlies had to have in order to win the game. So after Thursday night, and despite going through some unexpected circumstances surrounding whether or not the game was even going to be played, and then, of course, the situation with Valanciunas, this team banded together played to their strengths of playing very good defense, and then found more effective offensive flow in the fourth quarter when they really needed it, and they were able to win the game. Great games overall from Tyus Jones, from Dylan Brooks, from Brandon Clark. They needed to find a way to have a duo of players get 40 to 50 points combined. That's what Brandon Clark and Dylan Brooks did, and they were able to combine for 45 points and really, really help the Grizzlies get the offensive boost that they needed in that 115-110 overall victory. So just a very good response in a situation where the Grizzlies truly had to earn a team win. They were able to do it, and though Jonas Valanciunas probably is going to be unavailable for a few games going forward, this team again showed that even though they may lose an important piece, they certainly have the roster pieces in place to still remain competitive and make the most of their situation and be in the majority of games that they are going to play. But what's the biggest reason as to why that is? We've already discussed it. This defense is playing better than expected, such as defending the three and other ways in which they really are able to make the most of their opportunities. But despite their ability to defend the threes, and despite overall the ability that they've shown to contest shots and limit their opponent's ability to score, there is one other trait that is really emerging from this Grizzlies defensive effort that is highly encouraging going forward. If they can maintain this trait, it really could allow for them to get some wins together once they're fully staffed. Coming up, I'll discuss that trait and why there is plenty of indications that it can be sustainable and really make this defense better than many expected coming into this season. As I mentioned to begin the show, the best time of the football year is here, and that is the road to the championship in both college football and the NFL. And that's exactly where we are at right now. The beginning of the NFL playoffs this weekend, leading up to six games, an unprecedented amount of games, you know, for the NFL playoffs in the opening weekend of the playoffs, leading up to also the national championship game for college football coming up on Monday night against Alabama and Ohio State. So we know you've been ready for football for a while, but are you ready for championship football? And it's not only that, are you ready to not only enjoy it, but perhaps profit from it a little bit as well? Well, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. There's one place to go, and there's one place to really add to your ability to enjoy all the action this weekend and on Monday, and that's BetOnline.ag. If you're someone that likes to bet on these games, BetOnline.ag is your best place to go to find opportunities to profit, as long with having all the fun that you will have this weekend enjoying the games. If you go to BetOnline.ag right now, sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit your good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus, #online. 2020 is over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. So entering last night's game against the Brooklyn Nets, there had been, you know, the Grizzlies are now in their 26th season as a franchise and entering their 20th season, as we've seen, you know, through the celebration of the old jerseys that have now, you know, come back. You know, we saw the vintage jerseys that were on display against the Los Angeles Lakers earlier this week. And they're now entering their 26th year as a franchise. There have been 58 occurrences in which the Grizzlies before last night had allowed a player to score 40 or more points. And in that game, the 58 games in which an opposing player had scored 40 or more points, Grizzlies opponents overall were 39-19 against the Grizzlies when they had a player score 40 or more points against Memphis. Last night, Caris LeVert became the 59th player to do that. He scored 43 points overall in the game, unfortunately, based off a 19-point, outburst in the third quarter, where it really erased the Grizzlies, huge lead that they had, and obviously even gave the Nets an advantage, at times during the fourth quarter. But of course, as we discussed, when it comes to this current Grizzlies roster, one thing they unfortunately do not have is they just don't have a source that they can rely upon like they do with a Ja Morant or a Jaren Jackson Jr. to match that type of outburst. So Dylan Brooks tried. The Grizzlies just don't have that type of player with that type of skill set who individually can score at that clip like the Nets did last night with Caris LeVert. But to combat that leading to a victory for the Nets, the one thing that the Grizzlies did to combat the individual performance that allowed for the Nets to be in the game is that they played together as a team, which is emerging as a true identity for this Grizzlies roster, getting contributions up and down the roster to remain competitive and find ways to win. For instance, the Grizzlies last night, when it came to passing the ball, five players had three or more assists in last night's game. Five players also had two or more threes in last night's game. The Grizzlies had five players who produced a block and also had eight different players who produced a steal last night against the Nets. So just an overall team effort in a situation where the Grizzlies had to come together to win, going through, as we mentioned in the first segment, unexpected circumstances, losing Jonas Valanciunas, needing to win. The team really came together and delivered a performance, and they were able to get, six players in double digits. This entire group effort, what it did was that it caused a lot of disruption on the defensive end, especially for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies were able to have seven more turnovers than the Nets last night. They were able to grab eight more offensive rebounds than the Nets did last night. Overall, what this effort led to was 17 more field goal attempts and seven more field goals that really proved to be the difference in this game for the Grizzlies. So just the overall team effort that we've consistently seen from this group shine through again last night and allowed for the defense to continue to be effective. And that's what we've discussed. This team in and of itself has really proven to be, they're a top 10 team in terms of defensive rating this year due to the fact that they played so well together. And not only is it because they've defended the three well, not only is it because they've limited fouls, as we discussed earlier this week, but another big reason why this Grizzlies team is having so much success on the defensive end is they are making life hellacious for teams to pass the ball. As I mentioned yesterday, the Grizzlies lead the NBA in causing opposing backcourts to commit turnovers. No team in the NBA is causing their opponent's backcourts to commit more turnovers than the Grizzlies. And a big reason why is because of how frequently the Grizzlies are getting in the passing lanes and either causing deflections, causing steals, or causing bad passes. Right now, the Grizzlies are third in the NBA in terms of steals per game. They also are second in the NBA in terms of deflections per game. But the crazy thing is that it's not because, the Grizzlies have one or two really, really strong perimeter defenders that are causing issue for their opponents. It's that the entire team is buying into Taylor Jenkins' defensive schemes and really making a difference. Right now, the Grizzlies have 10 different active players, 10 players who are producing at least one deflection per game. That's correct. They have 10 players who are causing at least one deflection per game. That means it doesn't matter in terms of whether the passes are going on the perimeter, whether they're going in and out of the post, whether they're on the fast break. Every member of the Grizzlies roster that is playing right now is making a positive play, one or more positive plays at some point during the game to disrupt the flow of the opposing offense. And the fact that so many of these players are causing those issues is allowing for the Grizzlies to consistently cause their opponents to have a hard time getting into their offensive flow, no matter what type of lineups are out there. That's why many of these opponents that the Grizzlies have faced have really had to rely on individuals to make the difference to beat the Grizzlies, instead of it being an overall team effort from the Grizzlies' opponents. And that's the great thing about it, is that this Grizzlies team, they're without their best talents, obviously, even their best defensive talents, but they're still finding ways to play to their strengths to win. The Grizzlies roster, having 10 different players who are causing at least one or more deflections a game. That's near the top of the NBA. The Grizzlies also have six different players who are producing at least one steal. Dylan Brooks, Tyus Jones, John Conchar when he was healthy, De'Anthony Melton, Gorgui Dieng, and Jonas Valanciunas all were producing at least one steal. Grayson Allen was producing 0.9 steals per game. Desmond Bane, 0.8. This Grizzlies team is really bought into playing together as a team, and through their very disruptive, you know, activity, their intentful actions, just their overall discipline and movement, the fact that they are causing this disruption, but also are doing it in a way in which they're not hurting themselves by fouling, it really has allowed for their defense to continue to emerge as one of the best in the league, and that was the big difference last night. So another example of how this Grizzlies team, despite all the adversity that they continue to experience with unexpected injuries that are unfortunately leading to their best players, Jonas Valanciunas including now, having to be out for long stretches, this team is banding together and playing to their strengths, and it really is making a difference, and it is what has made them arguably one of the better perimeter defensive teams in the league. Certainly a needed improvement from last year that hopefully once the roster continues to get healthy will be a trait that remains true about this team and will be a big reason why they may still be able to make the most of this season as a potential playoff contender. But there has been discussion around the NBA going beyond this season that really could impact the future of the Grizzlies. Coming up, I'll hit a little bit on the talk of expansion and why in the Grizzlies situation, a change, there could be changes on the horizon in case of an expansion and why it really could benefit the Grizzlies going forward. Tomorrow on Locked On NBA, join Anthony Uren of Locked On Lakers and Adam Mars of Locked On Nuggets for a wrap-up of the biggest stories around the league. Anthony and Adam bring you game recaps, weekend previews, and a weekly NBA power ranking you can't miss. Subscribe to Locked On NBA Podcast today, wherever you get your podcasts. So earlier this week, there had been talk, you know, there's a lot of speculation, but the general understanding is that, you know, whether or not it has anything to do with COVID-19, the NBA, though there had been talk for years and it seemed like there had just not been, you know, a real effort to pursue, you know, laying the structure for expansion to happen, it seems as if Adam Silver and the powers that be in the NBA are becoming more open-minded to the idea of expansion, basically making a 30-team league into 32 teams. Now, if that were to be the case, the result could certainly be, you know, and, you know, it obviously expanded conferences, you know, there could certainly be differences, you know, in travel schedules, differences in conferences, things such as that, the overall landscape of the NBA in terms of the competitive structure of divisions and conferences and things like that, there could be a wide variety of changes moving forward. The thing is that the most sensible places for expansion appear to be out west, especially when it comes to markets such as Seattle and Las Vegas. Now, nothing has been guaranteed. You know, there's nothing. This is in the beginning stages. This is all speculation right now. But the you know, probably the most frequent topic of conversation is that if teams were to be placed in Seattle and Las Vegas, for instance, a team from the Western Conference would then be moved to the Eastern Conference. And naturally, teams that are up and down the Mississippi River and kind of in the Midwest and the Mid-South are the teams that are being focused on as being kind of in that limbo period. These teams are currently in the West, but they naturally could be in the East, and it really could help to balance out travel schedules. It really could allow for, you know, the NBA to make a little bit more balance happen for some of their markets in the middle of the country. Three markets that really have been in the discussion as far as potentially being a team that would then move from the West to the East if there, you know, would be two 16-team conferences that would come out of the NBA expanding from 30 to 32 teams are Minnesota, Memphis, and New Orleans. Now, Memphis has always been kind of a, you know, fun discussion. It's always been a kind of a fun discussion in Memphis of what if we moved out east? You know, we're close, you know, to a lot of Eastern Conference teams. We're in the south. Obviously, it would limit travel. Obviously, it would allow for us to, you know, take advantage of, you know, some budding rivalries and things like that. There's just a lot of sense. Memphis has always been one of the more sensible teams to go to the Eastern Conference if realignment or if expansion were to occur. And I think that that's especially the case right now. When it comes to Minnesota, when it comes to Memphis, and when it comes to New Orleans, each team has a reason as to why it makes sense for them to move to the Eastern Conference. Minnesota, it makes sense for them because they are the team that typically leads the NBA in terms of most travel during the year, but that's just naturally because of where they're located. There's not really any other big markets around them when it comes to them playing, so that may allow for them to be able to move to the Eastern Conference, but then again, it really wouldn't change their travel plans because of the fact that they're still a pretty isolated market compared to the rest of the NBA. For New Orleans, probably a lot of the same reasons that Memphis would want to move to the East. It would make sense for New Orleans to move to the East. But the reason why I think that Memphis may make the most sense to move to the East is because of the marketing opportunity that certainly is there for the NBA, especially right now. And one of the biggest reasons why that is because look at the Memphis roster. They're led by Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. A few teams that are out east, that are in the south, are other teams that have a lot of the same structure right now as the Grizzlies do. You've got Trae Young, and the rest of the Atlanta Hawks roster, a very young roster. You could create an instant rivalry between Atlanta and Memphis that would be the talk of the south, that would be one of the better rivalries in the NBA. You've also got an emerging team in Charlotte led by LaMelo Ball and others that really could be another fun rivalry for Memphis, obviously. Those are the type of things that I think the NBA will take into consideration. If it were to have realignment due to expansion, what would allow for them to, number one, be able to limit travel, which would save the league money, but also, number two, help them to profit by creating new rivalries and make money. And I think that that's a big thing that really benefits Memphis in terms of moving to the Eastern Conference if expansion were to occur, is the profitability of rivalries that would come from Memphis, really allowing for basketball to continue to emerge in the South. You know, basketball in the South, you know, it's never going to rival football because football is king in the South. But there have been times in which plenty of teams, you know, the different eras, you know, from the, you know, the Heat during the 2000s and you know, the 2010s, before that, the Magic, you know, there have been a lot of productive basketball being played in the NBA in the South before, but now the grid, what could naturally happen if expansion were to occur in the NBA is it could allow for the NBA to take full advantage of some of the best up-and-coming cores in its league. It could allow for new rivalries to emerge that really could help the NBA continue to profit and continue to build the depth of its brand as we go along into this new decade. So whatever occurs, whatever were to happen when it comes to expansion, I think obviously there's a lot of benefit in looking at Memphis as being the team to move to the Eastern Conference, and that's what the NBA decides to do. And of course, we as Grizzly fans will be glad to tell you, we'll tell you, you know, right up front, the reason why that's awesome is because naturally it seems that the Eastern Conference has always been the more viable conference that may allow for us to be able to have a better shot, obviously, at, you know, advancing in the playoffs and hopefully becoming a title contender. Now, that may be able to change as some of the older talents out west continue to get older and, you know, they continue to, you know, get past their primes. Perhaps the overall balance of power shifts to the east. But I do think in general, beyond the Grizzlies' title hopes, you know, possibly improving if they were to move to the east, there's a lot of sense when it comes to the bottom line financially for the NBA to look at moving the Grizzlies to the Eastern Conference. Though it's going to be a few years and time will tell what happens, I think that it certainly could be an exciting outcome if the NBA decided to move the Grizzlies to the East that could lead to a lot of new rivalries and could allow for names such as Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. to be involved with other big names across the South that could really be beneficial not only to the Grizzlies, but also the NBA as a whole. So plenty to talk about both in the present and the future. A very exciting and needed Grizzlies victory. Hopefully they'll be able to carry the momentum into next week. We'll talk about that plenty coming up in next week's episode. Three big games for the Grizzlies coming up against the Cavaliers again, and then back-to-back with Minnesota. Three winnable games and a stretch in which the Grizzlies really could benefit from going 2-1. We'll cover all that for you next week. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. Find the podcast wherever podcasts are available, and make sure that you not only really subscribe, but leave us a review. Let us know what you think. We always love to get the feedback from our listeners. Hope you enjoy a weekend of great football. And again, whoever you cheer for, as long as it's not against the Titans, I wish your team the best of luck. But until then, we can all certainly agree that last night was a great Grizzlies victory. Hopefully, Jonas Valanciunas will remain healthy. Like many other players, we'll get back to the roster as soon as possible. But until then, at least we have the momentum of a great victory and some emerging strengths that hopefully will continue to make us competitive and lead to wins in the near future. My name's Sean Coleman. Hope that you have a great weekend. And until next time, we'll talk to you here again soon on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.